Good morning, everybody. And just to start by thanking Fiona and Hugh and Elaine for inviting me here this morning to share with you the results from these two respite interventions that Genio have led out in the community. So the title of the talk is Respite Care for Whom? And it's going to really report on both the South Tipperary project and the Stillorgan Black Rock, so both the rural and the urban projects. And this is the overview. I want to just spend a few minutes talking about the meaning of respite, because the meaning has changed over time, certainly since the days I was working as a social work practitioner, where respite really meant respite for the carer, with no focus really on the needs of the person with the dementia. Then the evaluation itself, the key findings, some of the methodological issues and the future directions for further evaluation of projects, and what the future holds out in terms of, I guess, the dementia strategy being in the pipeline and actually about to be launched next Wednesday in government buildings. So starting with the definition of respite, this is Claire Bamford's definition that I quite like: any formal service designed to provide the break from the usual routine for the person with dementia and the carer. And as I mentioned earlier, increasingly the focus is being placed on the person and on the type of meaningful activities a person with dementia can engage in during a respite break for a carer. So it's the temporary provision of care for the person at home or in an institution, either at home, in-home respite, or in an institution, either residential respite or at a daycare centre is another form of respite. And then Mayen describes respite really based on a number of different dimensions, and that's whether it's, in terms of its location, in terms of its duration, whether it's emergency or whether it's kind of elective respite, and in terms of really whether the staff involved in delivering respite services are trained or untrained. Traditionally, it was considered as a service that physically and socially separated one party from the other. And again, that's also being contested, that, and certainly in one of the projects, in the Stillorgan Black Rock project, people often did things together, like the exercise program itself, the person with dementia and the carer. What does the literature tell us about respite? Well, Henry Brodiarty's work from Australia showed that respite can actually delay the need for nursing home care. Steve Zaret's work has shown that it can actually reduce caregiver burden and in that way probably prolong community care. Carers value respite, but sometimes the take-up can be low. That was Powell Lawton's work from Philadelphia. And often there's a whole set of complex reasons, isn't there, as to why people are reluctant to take up respite in terms of, guilt and concerns about their relative being put in the hands of sometimes strangers. Very few studies have evaluated both the person with the dementia's perspective on respite and family carers. And I think this is one of the kind of great advantages of these respite projects, that we have gone out and really tried to take on board very much both perspectives. Limited evidence of the effectiveness of different models and very few randomized controlled trials. There has been a recent Cochrane review on respite in the context of dementia care, and there were only four studies identified. And in three out of four studies, really it was demonstrated that respite was of no great benefit, actually. And in the fourth study, and those studies were looking at respite versus no respite, in the fourth study they looked at respite versus polarity therapy, which is a form of kind of, de-stressing carers. And the results were in favour of polarity therapy and not respite. But the research is really pointing to the need for a lot more research and a lot more kind of qualitative research as well. And there's been a recent Cochrane review, which I just picked up over the last few weeks, on exercise and dementia, pointing to the potential that exercise has in promoting activities of daily living and in improving cognition in people with dementia. And in Australia, again, I just picked up a discussion paper from the Australian Alzheimer's Association that's just been published in the last couple of weeks, pointing to the value of exercise for people with dementia. So just moving on to the two Genio projects that most of you in the audience are familiar with, because I recognise a lot of faces. The Five Steps to Living with Dementia in South Tipperary, that's the project that was led by Dr. Katrina Crowe. And then the Living Well project in Stillorgan Blackrock, which was led by Eilish Hessian. And so the broad aims of these respite programmes were to help people live at home for longer, so to promote community care, as Hugh talked about, the whole focus of Genio is trying to support people to live in the community with a dementia for longer. To provide interventions enabling both carers and people with dementia to enjoy a good quality of life, so to help them really live well with dementia and be engaged in their community and not be kind of ostracised and marginalised, which so often happens, I think, with dementia. People are stigmatised and they become quite withdrawn, as do often their carers. To reduce or delay residential care, and the same in the context of hospital care, to avoid people going unnecessarily into hospitals, because as we all know, hospitals are a terrible place for people with a dementia. And to overcome some of the limitations of the pre-existing services. So in the past in Ireland, a lot of our HSE services are delivered on a take-it-or-leave-it basis, you know. There's a lack of flexibility, and these projects were very much about tailoring the services to the unique needs of people and their families. So I must say I take no credit for this lovely slide that Maria Pierce, my colleague, prepared for me. So this is South Tipperary with a population of 88,000 people. And Maria also prepared figures mapping the Eurocode prevalence rates to the area, to looking at the DED and mapping those and arriving at a figure of about 1,000 people in South Tipperary with a dementia. About two-thirds of these are women and the rest men. And then the Stillorgan Blackrock area with a population of about 50,000. And again, Maria prepared the prevalence rates. There's about 725 people in that area who have a dementia. So in terms of the, moving on to the interventions, that just gives us a sort of flavour of the numbers and the numbers of people with dementia in those areas. So the projects themselves were quite different. As you can see from this slide, the rural one brought services into people's homes, and those services or interventions were very much based on discussions with the person with dementia and with carers and with family members, and deciding what would work best, what would bring out the best in these people, and what would work best for carers as well. And I've just given you a flavour of some of the activities, but there was a whole range of different activities in South Tipperary. And then in Stillorgan, there was an exercise programme, and I think the really nice thing about that exercise programme was that it was an activity that lots of people in the community did, not just people with dementia. So there was a sense of doing something that was quite normal to in the area, in the community hall. There was transport organised as part of the intervention, good social support for people, contact by a telephone, and there was a formal carer support group too, so that the carers of these people could go to training sessions for family carers that was delivered through the Genio project. So both very different, but actually addressing unique needs. These are the principles that underpinned both models: person-centred care, which we know is a bit of a catchphrase, but which is so important, I think, in the context of dementia, to know the individual, to know their life story, their biography, what works with them, what ticks with them. Flexibility, I've talked about. Choice, people were offered real choice in terms of the service. People feeling included, great consistency. So this notion of a key worker, somebody that the family knew that they could contact even outside of the respite hours and they'd get help from, and normalisation. And then because these were really being piloted, these interventions at the time, there was a time limit on them. In this case, with these interventions, 10 weeks. And the other interesting thing was that the services didn't substitute for pre-existing services. So a lot of these families were using HSE services or services from the Alzheimer's Society, but they complemented or supplemented the pre-existing services. And they enabled people with dementia to remain at home. They were client-led and really well integrated into the community. And that was very much the case across both services, that there was very good partnerships set up between the Genio project staff and other service providers in the community. So the differences between the models, the South Tipperary one was obviously in the country, was individualised, led by an old age psychiatrist, Dr. Katrina Crow and her team, used pre-existing services. So the staff that they co-opted in were already trained and worked with other services in that area. There was an emphasis on opportunities for therapeutic input, and with the South Tipperary project, the person with dementia tended to be separated from the care. The care was given time off to go out and do what they wanted, and the service tended to be delivered at home. With the Stillorgan and Black Rock one, it was based in the city. It was more a group activity, the exercise program, nurse-led, training up of new staff, so staff were trained in dementia care. Both projects created a lot of awareness about dementia. Dementia was kind of taken out from behind closed doors and made much more visible. And the person with dementia and the carer attended together if they wished. They could go and do the exercise activities in the local community hall together. So just moving on to the actual evaluation itself, we thought long and hard trying to decide what approach, because you can understand so many different activities and different projects. And in the end, we decided, obviously, with small numbers, to use an exploratory qualitative approach with in-depth interviews using a sort of schedule. And we had 17 people with dementia, and we had 20 caregivers. Some of the people with dementia had such an advanced dementia they weren't able to actually participate in the interviews. We also used Rebecca Logstone's QualAD, which we'd used in other research and which is used in the literature, and we thought it would be good to have it to compare against other studies. And we used Steve Zaret's Caregiver Burden Scale, which, again, we'd had experience using before. You might ask why we use these tools in qualitative research, but we found the questions in them very helpful, and we taped all the interviews, which meant that some of the questions actually triggered off very useful comments by both people with dementia and carers about you know, issues like their quality of life, their day-to-day living with dementia. And then we used a thematic analysis to extract our kind of, you know, themes and write up our reports. So moving on, what were the key findings? Overall, family carers and people who had dementia expressed very high levels of satisfaction with both of these interventions. There was very clear evidence, and I'll go on to show you some of the qualitative data, and it's quite overwhelming, really, in terms of, you know, how convincing it is that these interventions were improving quality of life. Both models aligned well with person-centred care principles. And then the key worker principle I talked about earlier worked really well. And both models, most importantly, promoted autonomy and complemented pre-existing services. So people felt empowered. They felt much more kind of able to choose what they wanted, and really, there was a kind of good feel about the services. And this slide reports on, first of all, a person with dementia who, clearly, this was a lady who had Parkinsonian's dementia, and she used to be a great knitter. And we kind of forget, don't we, that, you know, with a dementia, you forget your ability to follow a pattern and the stitches and stuff. And she was introduced to painting, something that she didn't think she ever had a skill to do. And it's a lovely quote, I think. I loved the painting because, see, I used to knit and I could knit anything, but now I can't follow the pattern. So that was a terrible drawback. And she goes on. And I think it's very, very powerful. And that was a lady in the South Tipperary project. And then the second quote on this slide is from a family carer from Dublin, who talked about when I think she can do the round the trip. She's talking about the value of the exercise program and the fact that her mother is now much more active and much more able to walk back to her home, which was, you know, a short distance from where she lived. And that, you know, she was the same carer talked about the fact that her mother had a much more structured life as a result of the exercise program as well, that it kind of put a focus on a certain day for the week for her. Other views here. Oh, it was flexible. This is a person with dementia from South Tipperary talking about, you know, the in-home contact, and she could change her mind, and that didn't really matter in terms of having a person come on a different at a different time. And then this is another person from with dementia from Stillorgan Blackrock. There's chat going on all the time and a chance afterwards to gather around with others attending and have a tea and cake and socialise. And this is a really important part of that exercise programme, the kind of reward afterwards and to be able to go and kind of socialise with others. And then the last quote is from a person with dementia from South Tipperary. She was brilliant, she was brilliant. I'd been waiting for the day for her, assured the day. And this was a gentleman, I think, who was a bachelor and living on his own, and having this contact was so important to him because there are a lot of lonely people out there in the community with the dementia. This really brightened up his day. Some further kind of, you know, narrative and very rich narrative of that. She likes talking about it and, you know, the independence. It makes her feel like what normal people do. So it makes her feel a little important and independent, and it gives her a reason to get dressed, to spruce herself up a little bit more in the mornings, and it's so empowering. I think it's very profound, that quote, you know, just she wants to be normal, and it gives her kind of that sense of independence and, you know, kind of motivation for her day. And then this other quote from a family carer in South Tipperary: carers don't normally have the time to sit and talk or sit and play music, so it's kind of different in that sense. They, the respite workers, can provide that. Again, I think that's quite powerful, showing the difference between the kind of more formal structured services and the more flexible kind of intervention that this Genio work or project achieved. And I think I'm coming to the end of my quotes. Views on respite. This is a lady with dementia from Stillorgan Blackrock, and I think it reminds us that people with the dementia have communication problems and can be anxious about their interactions with others. And she's saying that it was great because her respite support person was so easy to talk to, and there was no pressure. And it was, you know, it really brightened up her day having this person visit. The quote on the left-hand side of this slide is from a family carer from South Tipperary who talked, in her case, her dad was a daughter carer and her dad had an advanced dementia, and the person just came in and sat with her dad, giving her time off, and this was very important to her, that the person came in and played music or just, you know, fed her father the yogurt. And certainly in the Stillorgan Blackrock project, we found people comparing this type of intervention compared with the statutory services that were often took a lot longer. They liked, particularly in Stillorgan Blackrock, the fact that, you know, the turnaround on the service was only a few hours, and that unlike daycare where you have to go and leave your relative for maybe, you know, 6 hours and organise transport, this was easy. It was in the community. It was very achievable. I'm just going on now in the interest of time just to talk a little bit about the quality of life and the caregiver burden results. As I said, we used the Zaret scale. We found that the majority in both projects of these people were moderately stressed. They certainly weren't, most of them weren't severely stressed. That said, there were about 4 cases where people scored very high on the caregiver burden. And interestingly, in those cases, 2 out of 4 were young carers whose husbands in both cases had an early onset dementia. And in the other cases, they were older carers whose health clearly had suffered because of caring. And then the quality of life, you'd see a consistency across the scores there, and they're quite consistent with other Irish research that has gone on recently using the QOL-AD. Usually with the QOL-AD, the proxy accounts tend to rate, proxy carers tend to rate their relatives' quality of life more negatively than people with dementia themselves. And we saw this in one of the projects, but not in the other, where the QOL-AD was the same for both Instalorg and Black Rock, whereas in South Tipperary it differed between 29, but the difference was quite minimal. And again, further quotes on, you know, how the interventions affect the quality of life for the carers. To know he's there, there's somebody with them, he's being stimulated, the relief. They make available information that otherwise I wouldn't have time to access. This was a daughter carer who worked and who was really busy and who availed of the carer's support groups in Stillorgan and Black Rock. This just gives us a flavour of some of the questions on the QOL-AD. 13 different questions asked of both the carer about their relatives, so it's getting their perspective on their relative's quality of life, and then the person with dementia being asked about these issues. And again, what we saw was a consistency across the data that people with dementia tended to rate their memory and their ability to do short chores around the house and their ability to have fun quite negatively. And in contrast, they rated their marriage, their friendships, their social supports quite positively. And in administering this scale, we also found that many of these people with dementia had high levels of insight. They were kind of quite aware of their limitations and aware of what they could and couldn't do. I remember one man talked about his hallucinations, and in another case, a woman talked about the effect her dementia was having on her husband. She was really worried about the impact, you know, her illness was having on her husband. I've pooled the data again across the two projects here, looking at caregiver burden, and we have a sample size of 19 carers. And what was overwhelming was that all of these carers talked about being fearful of the future and there being a lot of uncertainties in their lives. And more than two-thirds, as we can see, report that because of caring, they don't have enough time for themselves. Over half said that they believe their health had suffered due to caring. And about a third said that they had lost control of their lives due to caring. And it's interesting, about three-quarters said that they didn't feel embarrassed. These were all questions on the Zaret scale. 63% said they weren't angry about the situation. And that actually, the last point there is 78% that they did have sufficient money, that they were, you know, that they weren't financially kind of burdened by caring. So I'm going to finish up. I think that's given us a very good flavour of, you know, the two different interventions and the impact these interventions had on the lives of both people with a dementia. I should have mentioned most of these people had more a mild to moderate dementia. There were a few people with quite an advanced dementia. So the sample size, as we see across both sites, was quite small, and we need to be aware of that. And the sample is biased. There are already people in touch with services, and we know there's lots of other people out there who haven't come forward and who've had no kind of connection into service supports. No standard diagnostic tools used for assessment. I think that's actually wrong. I think certainly in Tipperary, I think there were certainly assessment tools used and people had full diagnosis. No pre-post intervention data available. So we originally, when we set out to do this evaluation, we had hoped to collect data before people actually got the intervention and then later and to look at differences. But clearly, it's an example of the need out there. I think when people were assessed for the services, their needs were so urgent that you know, the service was introduced oftentimes immediately, so there was no time for us as researchers to get in. No information collected from service providers, and certainly at the conference I attended in South Tipperary quite recently, The service providers have, you know, so much to share with us in terms of their experience too. And the timing of data collection was not standardised. So Maria, who collected the data, went out, you know, when we got notification, but data was collected at different stages in the course of the projects, often quite early on as well. Future directions, both community respite initiatives have significantly been reshaped since the time. We were really out there in the field, I think, in summer 2013, and these projects have moved in different directions as a result of feedback and, you know, they're needing kind of new directions. We hope to do some further evaluation next year on these projects using slightly different approaches and trying to, you know, take on board that pre-post intervention approach. We may target particularly at risk groups in the future evaluation work. And there's, you know, people with young onset dementia, people who live alone with dementia, people who have particularly excessive needs. And then there are challenges, of course, in attempting to capture the experiences of different interventions. We talked about this work at the Alzheimer's Europe conference at the Interdem meeting, and people actually questioned, was this really respite or was it not about meaningful activities and interventions for people with dementia? And I think it's a good point. So just to finish up, the models were extremely creative and as we can see from the data, very powerful in providing new and at times reigniting old recreational and social activities. We had a man, and he didn't feature in the data there, but a man who had been a marathon runner and who was helped to go back and jog in his neighbourhood through the respite support workers. So, and we had a woman who loved her garden but was frightened of going outdoors, and she was also helped kind of rekindle that interest in her garden through the respite support person. The interventions have made dementia much more visible in the communities, linking, you know, the different service providers and community groups. And I haven't gone into the ins and outs of how that was done, but certainly in the Stillorgan Blackrock project, there was very close collaboration with Southside Partnership and with the Community Employment Group and TUS, and so, you know, different organisations came together. The one-to-one support may be costly, but it can confer, as we can see through the people's narratives, the benefits and the way it can really improve quality of life. And I'm going to leave you with one quote from a very nice article about respite in dementia care published by an Australian group. And the comment is, it's so important to get a person's name and to feel that they've listened to what you said and that you don't have to repeat the story again. In the end, I got a caseworker and my whole life changed. I wanted to fall down and kiss her feet. And I think through these projects, we've seen, you know, very good examples of casework in community care of people with dementia.